Welcome to the weekly podcast of Philosophers at Work. Now, today we have something special planned for you. We're going to be drawing out of a hat and asking questions off the dome. But first, I'm going to introduce the philosophers we have on the show today. So we have Dr. Mr. Norwood, Isaiah Westcott. Hey. We have Dr. P, the Bar Destroyer.
Let's go, baby.
Eric Peterson. We have Jay Dolla Sign, also known as Joseph Kewen. Woo! And then yours truly, TB Rips, a.k.a. Trevor Thompson.
You don't need an intro, baby.
Don't need an intro. All right, so right now, Isaiah is drawing from the hat. Who do you get? Which philosopher are you going to pick?
Socrates.
All right, not bad.
All right, now Eric is drawing.
We got Confucius, baby.
All right, that's pretty good.
Okay.
Joe, who'd you get?
We got Ralph Emerson.
Ralph Emerson. TV, who you getting?
And Trevor Thompson just picked Aristotle.
Aristotle.
All my homies love Aristotle.
We love it.
Main man.
All right, so right now we're gonna take a couple minutes to just ask some questions about our certain philosophers that we have. We're gonna think of some ideas, and we're gonna get right back to you guys.
Strictly off the dome.
Before the podcast starts, we'd like to give a quick thanks to our sponsor, Trojan Magnum.
Intense pleasure for all sizes.
Now, back to the action. Now that we've had a couple minutes to write down some questions for our fellow philosophers, we're going to start off to my right, Isaiah Westcott, Dr. Norwood.
All right, Isaiah. So, we'll start you off easy here. What were some of the main teachings of Socrates?
The main teachings of Socrates. So, Socrates, known as the father of Western philosophy, believed that one must concentrate more on self-development than on material things. He encouraged people to develop friendships and love amongst themselves. Humans possess certain basic philosophical or intellectual virtues, and those virtues were the most valuable of all possessions. So says Socrates.
Beautiful. Well spoken.
Thank you for that one, Isaiah. Now I'm going to give you a tougher question. And it's really what we're all about here on this podcast. It's what was Socrates' views on the meaning and purpose in life?
So, Socrates believed that the purpose of life was both personal and spiritual growth. He establishes this conviction in what is arguably his most renowned statement. This statement just screams Socrates. The unexamined life is not worth living. He did not merely say that the unexamined life was not a noble existence or that it was the path of a less righteous existence. Rather, the unexamined life is just not worth living at all.
All right, Joe, now ask him a question.
All right. See how you do with this one. How and where did Socrates die?
That's a pretty easy one, I gotta say. Socrates was accused of corrupting the youth of Athens and sentenced to death. Choosing not to flee, he spent his final days in the company of his friends and his family before drinking the executioner's cup of poisonous hemlock.
Wow. Nice.
Thank you so much.
Pretty deep.
Such a sad death for such a good guy.
Perfect. We're going to transition into Dr. Eric next. Thank you, Eric, for coming on the podcast. You picked Confucius out of the hat, so I'm going to start you off with a nice little easy one.
Sounds good.
Where and when was Confucius born?
So Confucius was born in Lu, China. And it was actually an ancient city back during the Zhou Dynasty, which long-ass time ago. And it was a vassal state. For those who don't know, that means that it was a state that has a mutual obligation to a superior state or empire. So, in modern society, the city doesn't actually exist anymore. That's back in ancient China. But yeah, that's where he was born.
Wow. Right. Really interesting.
All right, up next, something a little harder. What was the philosophy of Confucius?
So philosophy built the foundation of Confucianism, which ties back to his name. And basically, it was a system that focused on social and ethical philosophy rather than an actual religion.
Nice.
Isaiah, now you it's your time to ask him a question.
I got a tough one for you. What did Confucius believe was the meaning of life?
Hallelujah.
There we go.
That's the hitter.
Confucius, he believed that the purpose of life, according to himself and his philosophy, is to fulfill a role in society, however you might do that. And basically, he just outlined some, like a basic guideline. Just be honest, be polite, filial piety, which ties back to what I said earlier about respecting your parents, loyalty, and humaneness.
Seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
Seems like a genuine guy.
Thank you so much, Eric, for taking the time with us and talking straight off the dome about Confucius. Thanks again to Eric. Next up, we have myself, Dr. Trevor Thompson. I picked Aristotle out of the hat, and we're going to start off with Joe asking me a question, and then everybody's going to have the chance to ask me a question about my knowledge for Aristotle.
You know what? We're just going to jump right into it. What were Aristotle's views on the meaning of life?
Ooh, that's a toughie. Well, Aristotle, his views on the meaning of life, he believed that each man had a purpose, and the function of his life is to attain that purpose. He believed that each person should use their abilities to the best of their abilities. I know that sounds kind of funny, but that's what it was, right? So he believed if you use your abilities, you'll find your purpose in life. And he thinks that you need to find pride in what you do and what you do well. That's basically Aristotle's views on the meaning of life.
Oh. All right. I got one based on Aristotle's youth in his young days. Who taught him everything he knows? Who taught Aristotle?
Well, thank you, Isaiah, for the question. I'm going to start off even before that. So Aristotle, he grew up in ancient Greece. He's from there. And he was born in 384 BC, if my memory serves me correctly. And his teacher was Plato. Plato taught him for over 20 years. The two of them, they had differed views on their philosophy. Now, Plato liked mathematics, and Aristotle was way more into science. Aristotle, he always liked being right, and he would never claim something without having the right answer. So that's why he kind of viewed towards science over mathematics.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Aristotle also learned a whole lot from Plato. Mm-hmm. Of course, he was talking about rhetoric. That's something that we still use today. For like during English class, right?
Yeah.
A lot of speeches have it.
We all know about that one.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what? That's pretty much it. All right, Dr. Peterson.
All right. Give
me a question here.
For your last question here, we're going to look through Aristotle's career. So, which figures did he teach throughout his career?
Well, this is going to surprise a lot of people. Aristotle taught Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great, as we know, conquered a lot of Asia. And a notable lesson that Aristotle taught Alexander the Great was that all non-Greeks were barbarians and that they should be slaves. sounds intense,
surprising.
But from my researches, that is what I've figured out. So Aristotle actually encouraged Alexander the Great on his mission to freeing the Greeks, and Alexander the Great enslaved pretty much any non-Greek that he could find. Sounds intense. We love Aristotle. We love his views and his, you know, additions to philosophy, but
not so much his pupils.
But he definitely had some messed up views on, you know, other lives that weren't Greek, you know, per se. All right, thank you. So we're gonna transition over to Dr. Joseph after this. Next up on the pod, we have Dr. Joseph Kewen. He has Ralph Emerson. And we're going to start off with Isaiah. And then it's going to move over to Eric and then to myself for asking Joe some questions about his knowledge. All right, Isaiah, go ahead.
All right, Joe. Here's a straight fastball. What was his stance on religion?
So, Emerson, like most other people at his time, grew up in the Catholic Church. He followed the Catholic Church for a while and was actually a minister for a few years, like most of the men in his family. After a while, he figured that the Catholic Church wasn't something that he really believed in anymore. So he came up with this idea that God is in everything around us. Every person, every living thing, nature, even objects. He believed that God was in the smallest grain of sand all the way to the stars in the sky.
That gives me some reference to some other religions I can think of, like native religion and stuff like that.
Yeah, very, very similar. Yeah.
Really shows how spiritual of a guy he was.
Yeah, very right. Spiritual.
You love that. All right, Eric, go ahead.
So, Isaiah hit you with a fastball. I'm going to come over here and hit you with a curveball.
Okay.
So, who were Emerson's influences in his life?
So, Emerson, for most of his life, didn't have a father. His father grew up without a dad since the age of 8 when he passed away.
R.I.P.
Yeah, it was very sad. But he still had his mother and his aunt. He lived with his mother most of the time and occasionally visited his aunt. His mother took care of him, but his aunt was really the one who gave him the ideas that he had today and eventually taught to people, such as his stance on religion. That was just one of the many things that he discussed with his aunt, and he taught him for later in life to preach to others.
We love a good aunt.
Yeah.
Wow, Joe, you've really done your research on Emerson in the past.
You're quite knowledgeable, Joe.
Wow, okay. Right, so, the theme of this show, what is the meaning of life? So that's what I'm going to ask you right here. So what did Emerson think of the meaning of life? What did he believe?
So Emerson was a lot like Viktor Frankl, as we all know and love.
Of course. Oh, yeah, the renowned Jewish philosopher.
Yes, yes.
All the homies love Frankl.
We love Frankl. Anyways, he believed that the meaning and purpose of life was not happiness. He believed that pursuing happiness was not the best way to go about life, but it was self-reliance, meaning that you should be honorable to yourself, you should have integrity, and this will ultimately lead to impact in your own life and with others around you. So basically, strive to what you want in life, and at the end of the day, you look at it and say, did I do a good job today? Yes or no. And doing that every single day will lead you to a good life and give you meaning and purpose.
Wow. He's a real life person.
Well said, well said.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kewen. Thanks again for listening to the weekly episode of Philosophers at Work. We had a great time talking about different philosophers from Ralph Emerson all the way to Aristotle.
Just gaining knowledge around the world.
Gaining knowledge, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We like to help everyone out.
Expand our minds.
So first off, I'd like you guys to leave a comment below who you think did the best job, if it was Dr. Joe, Dr. Trev, Dr. P, or Dr. Isaiah from Norwood.
Norwood.
So we're going to transition into our last segment where we talk about worst philosophers of the week, also known as clowns of the week.
Clowns. So, TB Riffs. If I had to think of the clown of the week, the worst philosopher that comes to mind.
I think I'm going to stop you right there because I know for a fact that we're all thinking the same thing.
100%.
It's unanimous.
It's unanimous.
All right. One, two, three.
Ken Wilber.
We all hate Ken Wilber here.
All my homies hate Ken Wilber, man.
That's unanimous.
Faker than a Kardashian's dump truck. I don't know what to say.
Honestly.
He sold out.
My man sold out hard.
He sold out, boys. If you associate with...
Just leave.
Yeah. If you associate with Ken Wilber, you follow him, unlike, unfollow, block our account, leave the room.
Now do the opposite to Trevor Thompson. Follow him on Spotify, Anchor, SoundCloud, anything Apple Music. Think of.
Yeah. Any music playing service. You got to light this up. Here is Be All End All by TB Rips.
I said maybe.